Well, good morning, and welcome to the podcast here at Fork Union Baptist Church. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I want you to go ahead and grab your Bibles. grab your Bible and open it up with me to Luke chapter 19. Now, we're going to be verse 28 through 40. The title of the message today is Jesus Cries on Palm Sunday. And that sounds like a weird title this morning, but it's what's laid on my heart to name this sermon. And so Jesus cries on Palm Sunday, Luke chapter 19, verse 28 through 40. I know we are unable to physically meet together in this place. Again, I'll tell you that I'm in the church building, preaching to an empty building, recording myself. And it's stretching me in new ways as a pastor, and it's easy to feel frustrated, and especially when you're challenged with technology like I am. But anyways, God is good. We're going to continue to preach His Word. We're going to continue to try to encourage one another and try to stay true to what the purpose of the church really is, even when we can't meet together. So today is Palm Sunday, so we're going to focus on that. Today, we as Christ followers call this Sunday before Easter, we call it what? We call it Palm Sunday, because we remember that triumph entry, that day where Jesus came into Jerusalem and people proclaimed that He was the Messiah, that He was the King of Kings, and that He actually accepted this praise for the first time. Jesus entered into Jerusalem and all the people were shouting His praise. This was important for many reasons, and we're going to briefly talk about some of those today. But God has laid on my heart a little different twist on this today, and for us to go just a little bit further into this event today. So many times, if we're not careful, see, we can get distracted by these special Sundays. And if you could see my fingers, I'm doing the little quote fingers, these special Sundays in the Christian faith. Now, I'm not putting down Palm Sunday. I'm not putting down Easter Sunday. I'm not putting down Christmas and all these other things. We should celebrate those days, and it's a big deal. It's the cornerstone of our faith and those important Sundays that we focus on those things. But so many times, if we're not careful, it's easy to get hung up on what day it is on the church calendar instead of what we should be focusing on. We can focus on decorations. We can focus on Easter egg hunts. We can focus on meals together with our church members or our family. And none of these things are bad. I enjoy every one of them. In fact, we had an Easter egg hunt scheduled here on our church property for kids in our community, and I was so disappointed that we couldn't have it. I love to see all the beautiful decorations and the flowers out on the cross on Easter. And I love getting dressed up with my family and taking our traditional Easter pictures that we have every year. I love getting together with the God-given gifts that the people in this church have of cooking amazing meals. I love getting together and eating with my church family. I love getting together with my family and just sitting down and having a meal together and eating way too much. So I'm not speaking against any of these things, but sometimes we allow these things to become the main attraction when we should simply be focusing on Jesus, why He came, and what He did for us. So as we've had to cancel all these events that normally surround Easter here in the church, it's easy to be disappointed. It's easy to become frustrated. But what God has laid on my heart today is to really think about and to really look at what was on Jesus' heart that day when He rode into Jerusalem. What was He thinking and what was He dealing with that day in His heart? So we're going to read that event from Luke chapter 19, but we're going to close and we're going to go just a few verses further than that when we end. So let's start off Luke chapter 19, verse 28 through 40. Read this with me. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation again today. Jesus' triumph entry. After telling this story, Jesus went on towards Jerusalem, walking ahead of His disciples. As He came to the town of Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, He sent two disciples ahead. "Go into the village over there," He told them. "As you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, 'Why are you untying that colt?' just say, 'The Lord needs it.'" So they went and found the colt, just as Jesus had said. And sure enough, as they were untying it, the owners asked them, "Why are you untying that colt?" And the disciples simply replied, "The Lord needs it." So they brought the colt to Jesus, and they threw their garments over it for him to ride on. As he rode along, the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. When he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles that they had seen. "Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in highest heaven." But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, "Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that." And I love what Jesus replies here. He says this, "If they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheer." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Would you pray with me this morning? Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Lord, I thank you again for another day. Lord, your word tells us that your mercy is fresh every morning. It's new every morning. And so, Lord, I just thank you that this morning that your mercy is fresh and that I'm able to get up out of the bed and I'm able to come into this church. And it may not be the way that I would see it happening, or the way that I would prefer things to be happening. I would love to be with my church family today, Lord. I would love to be shaking hands and receiving hugs and giving hugs to our family here at the church and encouraging one another. But Lord, we have to deal with what we have to deal with, Lord. So I thank you this morning and I praise you for allowing me to preach your word this morning, no matter how we have to do it, Lord. I thank you for it. And so, Lord, I thank you for those who are listening, and I thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. And, Lord, I just continue to pray over this virus, Lord, that you would continue to heal our nation, heal the world in general, Lord. But I just pray that through this, Lord, that you would be glorified and that people would come back to you. And, Lord, that's my prayer for this simple message that you've laid on my heart today, is that it would draw someone closer to you. Lord, I love you, and, Lord, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, amen. God is good this morning. So I want you to know that before we even get started, I want you to be encouraged this morning that God is good. So just to help you understand what's going on here, we need to remember just a few things about this event. Because I'm not going to spend as much time focusing on what the normal sermon for Palm Sunday would be. So number one, Jesus, by doing all these things, the passage we just read, Jesus was directly fulfilling prophecy. If you go to Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, so Zechariah 9, 9, it says, "Rejoice, O people of Zion, shout and triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt." You see, yet again, we see Jesus here filling prophecy just like he had done so many times before. Number two that we need to understand about this event. Jesus was actually saying, he was actually proclaiming that he was indeed the King. He actually was the Messiah. Jesus used the title Lord when referring to himself. Normally, he would have gone out and he would have said, he would have done these great things and he would have done maybe cast out evil spirits and he was rebuking the devil and he was healing people and all these miracles he was doing, and he would tell them what he would say, "Go back and don't tell anybody what you saw today," because it wasn't time for him to be proclaimed yet. But here we see him publicly accepting this special honor. We see him publicly accepting the respect of the people and the respect that they were showing him this day. Even from his disciples, if you go back and look at what we just read, they too were showing that he was king. They were taking their garments off and making a saddle, putting it over the donkey for him to ride on. Number three, the third thing that we need to understand about this passage today and this event that's going on that we just read about is Jesus' arrival into Jerusalem began the last week of his life. And what makes it even more powerful is that he knew that this dramatic entry would help lead him ultimately to the cross. You see, the religious leaders were already looking for a reason to arrest him. They were already out to get Jesus. And here he comes into town proclaiming to be the Messiah. All the people are flocking to him, and there's almost like riots in the street because they're so excited that he's coming to town, and they're shouting his praise. You see, we have to remember that Jesus had already done all these miracles. Jesus had been teaching to huge crowds before this event. People had already been coming after and following him and wanting to hear his teaching and wanting to see the things that he was doing. They had already seen and heard about Lazarus being raised from the dead. They'd seen and heard about him giving the blind man sight, just to name a few, and on and on and on. So the crowd was excited to see him. The crowd was ready for him to be the new king. They were ready for Jesus to save them from the Roman rule. But see, what I want us to really focus on today is what the people missed that day. What did they really miss that day in this whole circumstance, in this whole chain of events that was going on? You see, most people were all there proclaiming that Jesus was king, but they were really, most of them were probably proclaiming Jesus for two reasons. Jesus was the king for two reasons. Number one is this. The people praised God for all the mighty works and miracles they had seen. That's what it says in verse 37 that we just read. It says, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. You see, they were lined up by the thousands along the roadway. They were so excited to see him that they were actually throwing their garments down ahead of him for him to walk on them. The people were excited about this new king who was going to fix all their problems. He wasn't going to fix the world, all that. They were wanting him to fix their immediate problems. What was best for me? Jesus will fix that. So let's go out and praise him. It reminds me of an assignment that I was sent on in January of 2009 when I was sent by the state police to do as just another peon in the security, and all the hundreds and thousands of police officers were sent for the inauguration of a new president. You see, Barack Obama had just been elected and he was inaugurated then in January, and they were expecting these huge crowds, and I have never in my career, never in my life seen or been a part of anything like it. People were being bussed in by the tens of thousands. There were so many buses that all the main interstates were completely stopped and full of tour buses as far as you could see. I remember standing in the middle of Route 66 in D.C. and the traffic was completely stopped and it was nothing but tour buses. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. And then later when he was going to do the parade after his inauguration, I was standing on the parade route and the people were shouting, Obama, Obama. They were praising his name. You see, the people were excited. They were hoping. They had put all their hope in this president, that this new leader would fix all of their problems. Now, I'm not trying to get political here today. I'm not going to tell you whether he did fix their problems or whether he didn't. I'm just telling you about the experience in my life of being somewhere where I saw someone being praised. I remember in 2018, I was blessed to be able to go to India for my second trip to India. And we got the opportunity to go to a government-run Hindu school to go share the gospel. And we were a little like, oh my goodness, we can't believe this is happening. And when we showed up there, all the kids had lined up and they were throwing petals, rose petals and flower petals in front of us and singing a song to us as we were walking in. And here we were just walking in boots and a t-shirt or whatever, but they were so excited that we were there that they gave us this grand entrance. And all we had to share with them was the good news of Jesus Christ. So I can only imagine what it was like in Jerusalem when Jesus was coming through the town himself. They wanted Jesus to fix all their problems. They were excited. It was an electric find. Like it was just like the biggest celebrity that we could ever imagine was coming into town. Thousands of people lined up praising his name. But see, their misconception of Jesus had blinded them to the real reason why Jesus had actually come. You see, the people had failed to see something very important that day about Jesus. And out of all the things, said this morning, I want to focus on this. See, I believe they failed to see that Jesus was riding on the colt of a donkey. I believe they missed a lot when they didn't really pay attention to him riding in on this donkey. So what is there to miss about this? Well, number one, you have to understand this. In those days, I was reading about this, I was studying about this. A donkey or a colt was a noble animal, not because it was so beautiful, not because it was so, you know, majestic by the way it moved or anything like that, because it was used as an animal of service. It was used to carry the load for someone else. It was used as a tool, and it would carry. That's what they've been used for. They're still used for that. And some outfitters in some of these countries, they still use a mule or a donkey to carry these heavy loads. They're sure-footed, and they don't get tired. They're tough. But they carry heavy burdens for people. That sounds a lot like what Jesus said he came to do, doesn't it? Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus said, it says this, "Then Jesus said, 'Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest.'" You see, the second thing that people missed out about this donkey that Jesus was riding into Jerusalem on was this. It was a symbol of peace. You see, in those days when a king would come into a town to conquer it, to show how big and bad he was, he wouldn't ride in on a donkey, I can tell you that. He would ride in on a stallion, and it would be the cream of the crop. Because he wanted to show how powerful he was. But if he came to make peace with a certain city, if he came just for a peaceful visit, he would always ride in on a donkey. So even when the people in the city, or even when the army or the other king saw him approaching the city, they would realize his intentions were peaceful. Reminds me of what the angels declared when Jesus was being born. Luke chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God has pleased." It also reminds me of what Jesus told his disciples, what he promised them when he was promising them the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the helper that would come after he left. John chapter 14, verse 27 says this, Jesus said, "I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart." I'm leaving you with a gift, and it's peace. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. You see, Jesus didn't come to bring world peace. All right, let me say that again. Jesus didn't come to bring world peace like the world expected. Jesus came to bring peace to the world. There's a difference in that, you see. He came to bring peace to us, to peace in our heart. Jesus came to make peace between us and God the Father, who we have all rebelled against. But see, the people were so blinded by their misconceptions of Jesus that they totally missed the real meaning of this triumph entry. They totally missed the point. Out of all the people, who was it? It was the religious ones who were blinded by their own misconceptions of Jesus. Instead of worshiping Jesus, in fact, instead of acknowledging him as the King of Kings and the Messiah, they rebuked his followers for praising him. They rebuked him for allowing it. You see, they were blinded by their own desires. The people wanted Jesus to rule because he performed great miracles and they knew he had all this power and he could do all these things and he could give them freedom from the Romans. And the religious leaders wanted him dead because he threatened their position and their power in the church. And this is why we have to go a little bit farther today. Because this is the whole reason that I wanted to preach out of Luke today, because God laid this on my heart. So let's look at verse 41 and 42. So just go right back where we left off, where we stopped at verse 40. And let's look at verse 41 and 42, and we're going to close with this. This is what it says. "But as he came closer to Jerusalem," talking about Jesus, "and saw the city ahead, he began to weep." He says this in verse 42, "How I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace." I wish you would understand the way to peace. Here we see a part of this triumph entry that is rarely ever preached on Palm Sunday. And I'm not talking bad about any of the preachers or anything like that, but I'm talking about myself. But it's the actual verse that led me to preach this message from Luke today, as I've already said. Jesus just entered into Jerusalem after performing all kinds of miracles. He had been traveling and teaching about the kingdom of God. He even taught in many parables, trying to help us to understand. He gave us many signs to try to get people to repent of their sins and to turn to God. He had fulfilled prophecy, and he had brought the good news of salvation. And here he comes entering into Jerusalem. Everybody singing his praise, proclaiming that he is Hosanna, shouting his praises. And these same people, Jesus knew that they had rejected the one and only way to real peace. In fact, if you really think about it, the same people that were shouting, "Blessing on the King who comes in the name of the Lord," were the same ones that were yelling just a few days later, "Crucify him, crucify him." They were the same ones who would be mocking him at the foot of the cross, walking by, looking and shaking their head. A few days later, when he was hanging on the cross, they were looking up at the sign and they were laughing, saying, "Yeah, he's really the King of the Jews, isn't he? Save yourself if you're so important." And guess what? Jesus wasn't weeping because of he had to endure the cross. He wasn't weeping because of what he knew he was getting ready to have to put up with and have to endure on the cross. That's not what my Bible says, because my Bible says, and what we just read, he was weeping because the people did not understand the way to peace. And the way to peace was through Jesus and Jesus alone. Church, those who are listening today, as we close, I pray that you will listen not to my words this morning, but to God's words. That you will listen to God's word that we just read. Listen to that voice in your heart that says, you know, maybe there is something to this. Maybe this is what I've been missing. Maybe this is what I've been looking for. Maybe this will fill that hole in my heart that nothing else I have tried will fill. Don't be blinded anymore. You see, if we've ever needed peace, it's today. If our country, if our world has ever needed hope, it is today. But if we are searching for peace in anything but Jesus Christ, we're just wasting our time. If we're expecting a president to bring us peace, it doesn't matter whether he's Democrat, whether he's independent, whether he's a Republican, whether he's white or black or whatever his plan is to make everything better, whatever he promises. If we're expecting a president or a person of any kind to bring us peace, if we're expecting the economy and the promises and the failures of that to bring us peace, if we're expecting toilet paper during a pandemic to bring us peace, and we're causing Jesus to weep. He weeps over the destruction and the despair that we have waiting for us, if that's where we look for our peace. Not just now, but for all eternity. I want you to know that God wants to bring you peace. Not tomorrow, not when you get your life together. He wants to bring you peace today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Not peace from a virus, not peace from a worldly leader, not peace from some kind of struggles that you're going through and you just need God to make it all right for you. He wants to bring you to a place where you have peace in your heart no matter what you're going through. The kind of peace that surpasses all understanding. The kind of peace that leads to a life free from fear. It doesn't matter whether it's fear of death, fear of bankruptcy, fear of this, fear of that. God wants to give you peace this morning. God wants to give us peace this morning. The kind of peace that makes you a child of God. If that's you this morning, if you are ready and you're listening and you want to make a decision, and maybe you're unsure about your salvation, I don't know what it is, or maybe you've walked away from the Lord and you want to come back and reconnect and say, "Lord, I'm ready to start fresh with you because I know your mercies are fresh each morning." Whatever it is, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have never prayed to him and asked him to be the Lord of your life, I would ask that you just, whatever you're doing, stop right now and pray a prayer, a simple prayer. It doesn't have to be just like I pray it. It just has to be from the heart. But a prayer like this, would you pray with me? Would you pray with me if this is you today? Heavenly Father, oh Lord, I love you this morning. And Lord, I thank you for loving me. Lord, I am a sinner. And I know that I have fallen short of the glory of God. I know that I have sinned against you. I know that I can't fix myself, Lord. I've tried to fix myself and I can't do it. Lord, I know I need a Savior. Lord, I believe in my heart today. Even though I may not fully understand it, Lord, I do believe. I come to you today and I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he lived on this earth. He came from heaven and lived on this earth. He was born of a virgin and he lived a sinless life. He never sinned. He died a criminal's death on the cross to pay the penalty for my sin. And Lord, through that, I can be forgiven. And only through that. And Lord, I believe that he overcame the grave. And that he's seated on the right hand of your throne with all authority. Lord, I'm ready to make Jesus the Lord of my life. God, forgive me today. Forgive me today. Make me new. Make me a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, amen. I want to encourage you this morning as we end. If you have made that decision today, we would love to hear from you, and we would love to encourage you some more, maybe send you some more material to help you grow in your knowledge and your relationship with the Lord. So if you would go to our website, it's forkunionbaptist.org, forkunionbaptist.org. Our contact information is there, and you can reach out to us. And also make sure you subscribe at the bottom of the main page so you continue to listen to our messages from myself and other people who will be speaking on this podcast, and be encouraged, and also be in tune with what's going on at the church so you can be plugged in and be a part of our family. So appreciate you again listening today. I hope you are blessed by this message, and until next time, stay healthy, wash your hands, and we'll see you soon. God bless.